Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And Meghna, did you notice front page of the Globe pictures of snow up in Sunday River, Maine, people skiing? How excited are you about that?
I'm excited about the skiing, but not necessarily about the snow.
Right. Well, the point is, winter is coming, even if it's not clear how fierce or how mild it will be. The National Weather Service says overall, the Northeast can expect a warmer than average winter. So that's encouraging.
Thank goodness. But according to the Old Farmer's Almanac, and it has to be said that their methods of prediction remain something of a mystery, we can expect higher than normal amounts of snow and below average temperatures in New England. So I don't know what to believe now.
I don't know what to. Oh, above average, below average, a repeat of last year, maybe not as bad. Whatever the coming winter brings, the question is, are you ready for it? After last winter's horror show, an endless snowpocalypse, are you psychologically prepared? And what about your house, your roof, gutters, and windows? Are they ready? So, we've got two experts to help prepare home and heart for winter. First, Todd Farchione is a clinical psychologist and director of the intensive program at BU Center for Anxiety and Related Disorder. And Todd, welcome to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Great. It's great to be here.
And in a moment, we're going to talk to Rob Robillard. He's a carpenter and general contractor about preparing your home as well, your physical home. But first, listeners, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about how to be ready, how to ready your home and your soul for the coming winter? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. And can you believe that it was snowing in Maine, New Hampshire. I think we heard reports of a little bit of snow this winter in Newton, even in parts of Somerville. So, Todd, I want to start here with this idea that we've been talking a lot about among my staff here, and that is after the brutal challenges of last winter, the city as a whole has sort of been feeling a sense of communal anxiety over the approach of another winter. Is there truth in that? Can a whole community sort of feel anxiety over an event like that?
Sure. I mean, I think it was a very difficult winter last year.
Right.
And what happens is people start to talk about it and they start thinking about what's coming soon.
Yeah.
And because of the uncertainty, and I think because last year was so tough, that's going to cause some anxiety. And then people start sharing that with other people and everybody starts thinking more about it. And
people like us start talking about it on the air.
That's it. We're not talking about it in a favorable way. Like you were saying, let's go skiing. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh man, the winter's coming. This is no good. I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
And so certainly things can be shared by a community.
Right. So what's your advice to kind of get the community to kind of, I don't know, put together a positive reframe here and not dread it?
Right.
Well, wait a minute. You know where I want to start? I think I know why you're laughing, because my producer told me that you just about left town last year.
Right. Well, that was almost the end right there. My wife and I, we started looking at places down south. We were like, oh, I don't know if we can go through this again. Well, I think, and I was going to say, we need to remind ourselves that it's not forever, that it's time limited, but it does seem far away right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I think we've been able to deal with it in the past, and there's been some really good winters in the past. So a good reframe would be able to say, you know, we got blasted the past couple of years. Maybe we're going to go, maybe there's going to be regression to the mean. Maybe we're going to get back to where it's not so bad, maybe have a few good years, and we can sort of settle into the winter and have a much better one than it has been in the past.
It sounds like you're just saying, just hope that it's not as bad. That makes me feel kind of powerless.
It's the weather. We are powerless.
We can only do so much here. Well, what it is, when you think of anxiety, right, it's all about how bad is it going to be, okay, and can we cope?
Yeah.
So if we say it's not going to be so bad, maybe it's not going to be so bad, hold out hope that it's not. Why not? I mean, what's so bad about having hope that it's not going to be so bad?
Right.
If we get blasted, we're going to get blasted. We have nothing that we can do about that.
Right.
So maybe it would be better just to go into it with a more positive attitude.
So I have a cousin who lives up in New Hampshire, and he's a very sort of outdoorsy kind of a guy. And in the middle of last winter, he just said to me, you guys just have to stop it. You just have to stop it. This is New England. It's winter. Get over it. It was kind of like this tough love. He was so tired of hearing about the complaining. But I want to sort of ask you as a clinical psychologist, is that helpful? I mean, that you could say to someone, look, this is just the way it is. Get over it.
Yeah. Well,
by the way, when he said that to me, it didn't make me
it didn't
feel
make
much
you feel better,
better
right? So the reason it didn't make you feel better is because it sort of invalidated the fact that you're feeling upset about
exactly.
it. I think a better way to go about it is to say, look, we're tough. We can handle it. We've coped in the past. If it hits us, you know, New Englanders, we're tough and we can manage it. I think it gives us a sense of control. It gives us a sense that as a community, we can get through it. And right. I think that's probably a more positive way to do it.
Hey, well, Anthony, can I just throw in a quick question
here? Yeah, please, come on in.
Because I totally hear what you're saying, because we can't control the weather, but I feel like a lot of the anxiety is coming around the fact that, like, our human-built things fail. And those are things that we should be able to control. Like, people couldn't get to work, or my ice dam destroyed the back of my house. Like, these are things that I can fix, but or the city can fix, and it didn't, and that was what made it so frustrating and enraging.
Yeah. But we also, a lot of that stuff was able to be repaired, and we were able to cope with it and deal with it and manage it over time. And, you know, in the big scheme of things, if that's the worst, is that you got to deal with these ice dams. I mean, I think as long as everybody's safe and your family is safe and those types of things.
Like, perspective?
Oh. Yeah, perspective.
I think perspective is so important. In fact, our producer, Jamie Bologna, reminded me of this commentary that journalist Barbara Howard did on our air last year in the middle of winter. And she sort of put it in perspective this way. She said, we're all complaining about this winter. And she came across a low-income food worker who couldn't get home to Dorchester because the buses were down. She was walking with her child back to a low-income housing unit where she lived, and Barbara gave her a ride. Anyway, that sort of caused Barbara to reframe and put into perspective all of the grousing that she was doing as she was driving her heated car back to a home and, you know, a comfortable home. So perspective is important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking, Magna, you brought up, you know, the physical things. Let's go to Rob Robillard. He's a carpenter and general contractor, editor of a ConcordContractor.com. He's also a columnist for the Boston Globe, and we spoke to him last winter. And, Rob, it's good to have you back.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
So we want to talk to you, and these two things aren't completely, they are related. We've been talking to Todd about sort of how to prepare your heart for what's coming. How should we be preparing our physical homes for what's coming? Right?
Absolutely. And just being prepared.
And this seems like to be part of, you know, taking control and doing something. And that's probably going to make us feel better. But how should we be preparing our homes?
I think you need to look at your homes as a top-down kind of approach. You know, start with the roof and you work your way all the way down to the foundation, the basement. And, you know, homes are a very complex system. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of systems. A lot of things can go wrong, and a lot of things cost a lot of money to replace if you're not taking the time to do the preventive maintenance along the way. And as far as preparing for the winter goes, there are lots of things that homeowners can do just on their own without hiring a contractor or handyman or something like that. And it's the simple things from making sure that your roof is sound and your roofing is fairly new and in good shape, to cleaning your gutters and making sure that they drain away from the foundation, making sure that all your windows lock and seal, and changing the filters on your furnace, you know, simple things like that, all the way to changing the batteries in your smoke detectors.
Yeah, right. And let's start with the roof, because, I mean, one of the big issues about roofs, of course, was our ice dams. I had a pretty expensive repair. It wasn't a repair. It was basically removing the ice dams last year before they caused damage. So I felt lucky to find some guys that could come in and give me a day of good work, and they did the job, and I avoided a really expensive repair. But it was $800 to pay those guys for the day.
Easily. You got off very
easy.
Yeah,
I think I did get a good deal, actually.
Yeah, I heard some crazy stories about price gouging and, you know, a lot of that stuff. A lot of the ice dam stuff, if your house is older and it's maybe not up to code for the ventilation or the insulation, if you just simply remove the snow rake, but you've got to do it right after it snows. So if you simply remove that ingredient, snow is the ingredient for ice dams, right? And if you remove that first 4 or 5 feet from the edge of the roof, you can eliminate a lot of your headaches simply just by doing that.
Now, an ice rake is a great thing, and I also went looking for one of those for the first time last
They were non-existent, yeah.
I found one, but I looked for
$900.
A long time.
Mine was gold-plated.
Yeah. So, Todd, what I love about having you two guys together in here is, you know, talking to Rob about what you can do to sort of get control and protect your house. I mean, even if you're not completely successful in doing it, does just taking the initiative and thinking about it now, does that help our mood in a way?
Yeah. Well, that's actually... for anxiety, a lot of times what happens is that people will worry about things and they get engaged in this process where they're thinking about all these bad things that can happen and they're getting upset about it, but they're not taking action.
Right.
And so really a better way to go is to not worry about it, do what you can to prepare, and really, I think, take action. I think that's a really good suggestion from Rob, you know, that puts you in a better position, and it's the best you can do at this point.
Right. All right. Well, listeners, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about how to ready your soul for the coming winter? Do you want advice? We've got Todd Farchione here. He's a clinical psychologist from BU. Or maybe you have questions about how to ready your home. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. Let's go to Parker, who's calling from East Boston. Hi, Parker. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I, myself, don't really mind the winter, but my wife suffers from mild seasonal affective disorder, and I was curious if there was anything I could do to try to ready our home in such a way that she's not going to be quite so miserable this winter.
All right, Parker, important question. Todd, what do you think?
I think a lot of times, you know, a good treatment for, say, depression and seasonal affective disorder, you can have very mild and you know, on the other end, I mean, it certainly can go towards depression. And but a good thing is get out of the house. Stay active. Exercise is a great treatment for depression, is to be active.
Yeah. And what about lights, right? Aren't there lights for affective seasonal disorder that you literally put on your desk and just have exposure to?
Yeah. There are some lights for seasonal affective disorder. The results tend to be a little bit mixed. You have to get the right light, and they tend to be fairly expensive, and you have to do it pretty consistently. I think it's every single day you have to be in front of the light for a certain amount of time. But they can work. But the question is, does it work as good as, you know, as well as like getting out of the house and exercising and taking walks and doing those types of things? And that's a sort of an empirical question.
Right. All right, Parker, thanks for that call. Let's go to Dan from Roslindale. And Rob Robillard, I think this is a question for you. Dan, you've got a question about gutters, right?
Yes, I do. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Like most Bostonians, I dealt with the ice damming this past winter and was just curious. I heard a rumor that if you took socks and filled them with rock salt and lined all your gutters, this was one effective way to deal with ice damming. Is that true? Or
That is true, and it does work, although I'll warn you that rock salt is corrosive to metal flashings. So a lot of roof systems have drip edges and step flashing, copper or aluminum gutters, and you can really start some corrosion that you probably don't want to go there with that. I would suggest using something a little bit less corrosive, like I can't think of the name right now, sodium, potassium, or something like that. They have less
caustic. But some of those melting agents that aren't just pure salt, in other words.
Right, yeah. Right. A little bit less caustic.
Interesting. Okay. So how does it actually work? So you fill a sock and you lay them in your gutters and space them out every foot or two?
It does. You know, I've seen things with nylons because nylon's easy to tie, and you tie a long section of it and you leave it, you know, low to high so that you create a channel.
Yeah.
And it basically melts down the ice and it stays there until it dissolves completely. And the water, the ice dammed water, flows down that section.
Fascinating. I'm going to try that. All right. Let's go to Dottie, who's calling from Cambridge. Dottie, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can. Loud and clear.
Okay, great. Okay, good, good. So my question may seem trivial, but it's very important to me and my dog. So I have a Chihuahua mix dog. I live in Cambridge, and as, you know, I dealt with the snow, he will not wear a jacket. He will not go... he's kind of a tough guy, and but he's freezing. He wouldn't go outside most of the time to pee or poop. So I don't know if anybody has an idea. When I could drive, I would go to the mall, but they now actually at Fresh Pond Mall have signs saying we would walk around there because, you know, no snow. But they have signs, only service dogs welcome, because I think because of Monk, my dog and I, walking around for hours at you know, at Staples and other stores
sure.
because I needed to get him exercise. But seriously, I'm sort of at a loss of how to prepare him for this winter if it's anything like the last.
Dottie, I don't know if Todd or Rob have ideas. Megna is a urban-dwelling dog owner. Megna, maybe you can help Dottie out.
I dragged poor Luigi out every day. He had to suffer through it. I don't have a solution for you, Dottie. I'm going to defer to the experts on this, but I want to call out to all urban dog owners, just because it snows doesn't mean you can't pick up after your dog, because
right.
when the snow melts, it all comes back.
Oopsicles.
Do your civic duty and clean up after your dog, even if there's 7 feet of snow on the ground. But
yeah,
do you guys have an answer for Dottie?
You know, I have two dogs, Dottie, and I have a backyard, so I don't know if you have a yard in the city or not, but what I do is I actually snow blow a perimeter around my house. It accomplishes several things. Mm-hmm. One, it gives the dogs a path to run. Two, it gives me a place to put a ladder up if I got to get to my roof or ice dams. And three, it gives somebody a way to get out of the house in case of an emergency on any one of my exits in my house,
point.
Or the fire department to access my house on all four sides. So if you can, maybe you can shovel or snowblow around your property, or you can snowblow your backyard. Just keep the snowblower up a little bit, and you can create a path for the dogs.
All right, Dottie, I hope that's helpful, and good luck to you and your pooch this winter. Let's go to Joseph, who's calling from Cambridge. Joseph, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to make an observation or share an observation I had from last year's incredible snowfall. You know, I found it to be such a joyful time, and because it ended up being like an equalizing factor that everyone had to deal with the discomfort, with the, you know, with the problems that just covered the city. But we all had to deal with it. And I saw a lot of generosity, a lot of sharing, and a lot of helping digging cars out. And I just thought that, you know, it's really a rare event.
Joseph, I'm really glad you put that idea on the table. And Todd, what do you think of what Joseph's saying? Because the power of having a reason to build and even celebrate community seems like something really positive that can come out of these experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. There was some work actually, social psychology and looking at competing groups and what sort of brought the groups together. And it was in solving a common problem. So if you have something that the whole group, you know, needs to fix, it actually brings people closer together. And I agree with you. I think it's great that you pointed that out, because it is. It's really nice to see people work with other people in that way and sort of come together around this common problem, this shared experience.
Except over parking spots.
Except parking spots.
Yeah, that was a big theme last winter, too. Let's go to Martha, who's calling from Brookline. Martha, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Well, I called in with a kind of a price gouging story and a dilemma about charging for a parking space. Hmm. But I just wanted to share that I was working in a nursing home last year, and the camaraderie that was built up around the snowstorm was just unbelievable, because we all had essential positions, so we had to get there, but some people couldn't, and several people stayed overnight to make sure the residents were cared for.
Mm. Nice. Martha, nice story. I'm glad to hear that. Rob, you know, Martha made reference there to price gouging over parking spaces. You had made references to very expensive costs, for example, to have people come over and take care of your ice dams. What's the best advice to avoid being gouged?
I've said this to many, many people. The best advice is to develop relationships before you need them. And it's seriously, it's find yourself a handyman, a carpenter, or a landscaper, a snowplow, whoever, to do these things for you. Develop that relationship and make sure you're on the dance card when it hits the fan.
Right. And we've been talking a lot about gutters and ice dams. What's the other sort of top thing on your list to prepare between now and the first heavy snowfall?
Well, you know, it's probably not house related, but it's you know, pick up your shovels now before that first snowstorm. Like, everybody runs out the day it snows to buy snow shovels.
Yeah.
Don't wait till the day before it snows to tune up your snowblower and find out that the, you know, the carburetor is all gummed up or the spark plug is fouled, or, you know, do the simple things now that you can do while the weather's nice.
Yeah.
You know, change those spark plugs, change your oil, get that stuff ready to go. Make sure your windows lock and close now before you need to turn the heat up, although I've turned my heat up already.
But I always find myself putting storm windows down when the temperature has finally hit sort of 2 below 0, and I'm doing like 10 windows, and I've got these two, you know, frozen
purple fingers.
Yeah, trying to unfreeze the...
Been there, done that.
Oh, boy. So get it done ahead of time. That sounds like
don't
great.
Don't procrastinate.
Right. So, Todd, sort of the final question that I guess I want to ask you is, I just love the way this segment started with you admitting that, you know, you and your wife were contemplating fleeing to Hawaii last a year ago or whatever it was. What persuaded you to stay? And by that, I'm sort of saying, how can you, you know, what's the sort of helpful message out there to people who may want to flee once that snow starts coming down?
I wonder if I just forgot. The
That's
summer was so
mechanism.
Nice. Yeah, no, but sure. I've been going around saying, but you should see the spring in Boston. I mean, it really is one of the most beautiful things, the spring in Boston. And I think maybe I did forget, but honestly, that's it.
Well, spring is beautiful. I'll put in a pitch for that first white shroud of fresh snow. It can be a very beautiful thing as well.
I couldn't agree more. You know? I mean,
the city gets quiet.
It's so,
snow, yeah. Take a
so
walk.
Special, actually. It's stunning.
All right, good. That's a good note to end this segment on. Todd Farchione, he's a clinical psychologist and director of the intensive program at BU Center for Anxiety and Related Disorders. Todd, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
And Robert Robillard is a carpenter, general contractor, editor of aconcordcarpenter.com. He's also a columnist for the Boston Globe. Rob, thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And stay with us. Coming up, the ivory trade in Massachusetts and the debate over a statewide ban. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Keep calm and carry on. This is Radio Boston.